RadioArchives.com presents The Long Ago Murder, An Adventure of the Black Bat by G. Raymond Jones, read by Milton Bagby. Out of the night comes a menacing winged figure, the Black Bat. Blind District Attorney Tony Quinn takes his battle for justice from the courtrooms to the streets, prowling the city skyline as the Black Bat. His prey, criminals who live beyond the reach of the law. Masked, cloaked like a gigantic bat, and able to see in pitch darkness, the Black Bat is assisted by hulking Butch O'Leary and former con man Silk Kirby, as well as the resourceful Carol Baldwin, the daughter of the lawman who donated his eyes so that Tony Quinn could resume his war against the underworld. A war to the death, fought with scientific skill and blazing .45 automatics. Operating outside the law, the Black Bat is relentlessly hounded by police captain McGrath, who suspects that the blind DA is really the human bat who breaks laws in order to uphold justice. And now, the Black Bat's thrilling adventure, The Long Ago Murder. Chapter 1. Man with a Problem. The man came out of the doorway covertly, like a woodchuck peering around first to be certain everything is safe. He was a tall, gaunt man with a strange, pasty hue to his angular features. Nobody could ever claim that he was handsome, but despite this and his furtive manner, there was something about him that demanded respect. He wore clothes that didn't fit too well, as if he'd grown much thinner of late, but insisted upon wearing his old clothes. They were of a moderately expensive make, neutral in color, and did nothing to make him stand out, for which he was definitely glad. Near the outer fringes of light from a street lamp, he paused and examined his left sleeve. It was soaked with blood, fresh red blood, and he shuddered visibly. A policeman sauntered around the corner, and the man quietly faded into a doorway and stayed there until the cop walked on by. Then the gaunt man emerged and hurried to the nearest lighted corner. He found a drugstore there, and a clock in the window indicated that it was slightly after 1 in the morning. He fumbled in his pockets and produced a few silver coins, not more than 40 cents. He entered the drugstore and saw with considerable relief that it was quite empty. A clerk bustled toward him. "I'd like this dime changed so I can make a phone call," the gaunt man said. "And a pack of cigarettes, too, please."
"Right. What brand?"
Why, it doesn't matter. Just cigarettes. And how much does it cost to use the phone now? It used to be a nickel."
"It still is," the druggist chuckled. "About the only thing that hasn't gone up. Say, have you been on a deserted island or something, not knowing how much the phone costs?"
"An island?"
The gaunt man permitted an odd smile to cross his lips.
Yes, an island. Isolated, quiet, serene. I wish to heaven I was back there."
He reached for the cigarettes with his left hand, remembered the bloody shirt, and dropped that arm stiffly by his side. He used his right hand to pick up the cigarettes and the change. Then he walked to the string of booths and stopped to check through a phone book. He opened it to the letter Q and rapidly ran a finger down the fine print until he came to the name of Quinn, Anthony Quinn. He rubbed his chin thoughtfully, stepped to the booth door and hesitated. Finally, he turned around and went back to the counter.
"Can you tell me if Whiteacre Lane is very far from here, please?"
The druggist shrugged.
"This is New York, my friend. No place is very far away if you got cab fare."
"But that's just it. I haven't. Not enough. And I want to reach a friend of mine."
"He must be in the Bucks," the druggist said. "That's a high hat address. You can reach it for no more than a dime or so."